And the idea behind the series is we've been talking about the things that we do to try to find fulfillment or meaning or purpose or satisfaction or whatever it is, and how sometimes we try to fill that longing inside of us with either more stuff or more experiences or more fun, or and inevitably those things leave us feeling empty. Sometimes our pursuit of those things, without us even realizing it, they become the focus of our worship. And as we spent some time talking about missing pieces, one of the missing pieces that for some of us perhaps we're trying to find is worship. What is the thing or the things that we have captured the focus of our worship, when in fact really only one is worthy of our worship? And we've talked about the worship being maybe a missing piece for some of us. Perhaps for some of us, it's the sense of deep community, right? Healthy, helpful relationships that are going to help us to become more like Christ. You know, some of us, maybe perhaps even this morning, feel like we're trying to do this thing that is life. We're trying to do it all by ourselves. We're trying to do it even perhaps even in isolation. We'll talk about that more a little bit later. But we just feel like, I don't have a village. I'm out here alone on my own. We all know what happens, right? When you watch the National Geographic specials, we all know what happens to the one animal that's left, that's out there on its own. And we're trying to do this thing, and we the missing piece for some of us is this deep community. This morning, I want to spend a little time talking about the missing piece, perhaps for some of us in our lives, of growth. And what I mean by that is the missing piece of spiritual growth. If you can think of a time in your life when you feel like you and God, your relationship with God was on point, and you're just like, yeah, me and Jesus are BFFs, and there was maybe spiritual growth that was happening, and I would guess that in the midst of that, there was kind of a deep sense of fulfillment as you felt like you were growing spiritually. Now, some of us have grown up in the church our whole lives and yet could not speak to the last time we felt like we actually grew spiritually. So for some of us, the missing piece, one of the missing pieces, is this sense of spiritual growth. People can stay spiritual babies for a long time and not even really think much about it. Right, many of you know that Ty and I have a couple kids, and I am not a tall person. Ty is not a tall person. Our children are not tall. I'm reminded of that when we go to baseball practice or games with Theodore, and he's not tall. Right, and but they're growing, right? But somehow with spiritual growth, we kind of think like if I don't grow spiritually, I can stay a spiritual baby. It's no big deal. I don't really think much about it. Whereas if our youngest Cecil, who is 2, he'll be 3 in October. You know, he's about this tall. I don't know, ish, somewhere in there. If he were to stay this tall as a 6-year-old, 8-year-old, 12-year-old, 16-year-old, we'd go, whoa, 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 something is wrong. Something is not right. And hopefully, we would have enough sense that before he was trying to drive. And couldn't reach the pedals, that we would have tried to figure out what's going on. You're not growing, right? We pay attention to physical growth in a way where we'd say, I have to be proactive now and do something. But our spiritual growth becomes a little easier to kind of go, I don't think about it much. I mean, now a couple reasons why I think people don't grow. The first one is this, is that your life is just chaos. One of the reasons why people don't grow is that your life is just chaos. Things are happening around you, and other reasons, right? Relationships, career, finances, whatever it is, that your life is just chaos, and spiritual growth then isn't happening because of the chaos. It's just not on your radar. There's all this other stuff going on, but hopefully that's just for a season, right? So there maybe was a season of chaos, but then there was maybe a longer season or multiple seasons of not chaos, and hopefully spiritual growth was happening then. One of the other reasons why people don't grow is because they just don't have a plan. They don't think about it. They don't have a plan. It's just a kind of I don't grow spiritually because not a thing I even considered. Third reason is just lazy. I don't want to. I'm not going to. I don't care. Sometimes I think in the life of the church, we think that spiritual growth is some sort of mystery. Like, oh, how did that person become so spiritual? Like, they must have gone on this, you know, silent retreat where they didn't talk for days, or, you know, wandered through the desert with the monk. Like, we think it's some sort of mystery of how spiritual growth happens, when in fact, spiritual growth is nothing more than becoming more like Jesus. And really is not all of that mysterious of a thing. Yet somehow, some of us are trying to cut the corners on that. Some of us are trying to cut the corners with our spiritual growth. We want this sort of quick, easy, fast food option for faith, right? I want to do the drive-through. I'm going to grab in, get this thing. And somehow we think that that's going to bring about spiritual growth. And then we get ticked when we're like, I don't feel like I'm growing at all spiritually. I mean, there's virtually no effort that we're putting into our understanding of God, our relationship with Him, or our relationship with others, and then we're just upset when we're like, and we get frustrated. I don't sense like I'm growing spiritually. And not always, but sometimes it's right around there when I get the opportunity to have conversations with some of you or with others, and they're like, Pastor, I don't feel like I'm growing spiritually. I'm like, yeah, that's frustrating. I get that. Talk to me about how you are. What are you doing to try to grow spiritually? Well, one time I thought about God. Okay, great. That's a start. But what else? And we think that somehow then we can, that spiritual growth is just going to be this thing that sort of happens like to us, right? We talk about, you know, we want to be fed, but how willing are we to then also feed ourselves? Sometimes we have friends or people who will say, you know, well, I just wasn't being fed at this church or that church, and so I had, you know, we had to leave. Now, while I think that there's a time and a place where that is the best option, I can't help but think that maybe some conversation could precede that. How often do we roll into church and expect that we're just going to be fed? We can just sit here, and it's just going to be kind of this spiritual growth is going to be shoved in our mouth. A very wise person just said between services, said, you know, it's one thing to be fed, but then we also have to chew. Right? How often do we want to just go, okay, well, I want to be fed. But we're not putting in the effort to also supplement our spiritual growth by looking for ways to feed ourselves, and then we get frustrated. My hope would be that before you would decide to leave, that you might say, hey, Matt, we need to have a conversation. Can I meet with you? Because I just don't feel like I'm being fed here at Gateway. Well, I want to know that. I want to talk about that. I want to explore what that looks like. And I want to also hear the ways in which you are trying to supplement and feed yourself, and also how you might be helping to feed others, right? If you feel like the messages, the studies, or the classes, or whatever, they're just not making you think, they're just like, there's nothing here for me, then let's have a conversation. I mean, I have the great privilege, the heavy responsibility, the exciting challenge of trying to come up with something to say nearly every Sunday to a group of you who are churchy people, like me. Grew up in church my entire life. I went to church multiple times a week. Churchy people. And I have this great responsibility, this exciting challenge, this privilege of trying to come up with something to say to you that you're going to be like, oh, I never heard that before. Yet we just read from Ecclesiastes, right? There's nothing new under the sun. I also have the great responsibility, the heavy responsibility, the great opportunity, and the exciting challenge of trying to come up with something each Sunday to talk to people who are coming back to church for the first time. People who maybe were at church and now are away, and they're individuals or families coming back to the church for the first time. What a great, exciting opportunity, challenge to try to come up with something to also share with those individuals nearly every Sunday. as well as individuals and families who are coming to the church for the first time ever in their lives. This great opportunity, this deep responsibility, and this exciting challenge nearly every Sunday to try to come up. There may be Sundays when you're like, that message did not connect with me. My season of life, where I'm at, I don't care. It wasn't there. Or maybe it's a whole series. My hope and my prayer and part of my expectation is that you're going to also be looking for ways to feed yourselves, right? And then also look for ways that you might also help others grow in their faith journey, grow in their spiritual development. As we look at Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes and he says, and then you won't be babies anymore. This is all, you see the words, some of my paraphrase. You won't be spiritual babies, tossed back and forth by all the stuff that's happening around us, all the things that we hear or that we read, every kind of teaching and cunning and craftiness of people. But instead, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become what? More mature, so that we might look like who? Jesus. I mean, I can tell you as your pastor, hey, I have an expectation that you're going to experience spiritual growth here at Gateway. I hope and pray that that's true. That's certainly our goal. But that's an expectation that you're going to grow spiritually. But I would say, you can just ignore me saying that. And here, understand that it's an expectation that God has laid out for you. If you would call yourself a Christian, then there's an expectation that you're not going to stay right here. You're not going to stay a little baby Christian, but that you're going to grow to become more like Christ. All right, fun little thing. I'm going to throw out six true or false statements at you about spiritual growth, and you're going to answer as a group, okay? So you're going to answer as a group. Six true or false statements about spiritual growth. Here we go. First one, spiritual growth is automatic once I give my life to Christ. True or false? Spiritual growth is automatic once I give my life to Christ. False. Nice work. It is, in fact, not automatic, but what? Spiritual growth is intentional. We have to be intentional about our spiritual growth. Just like any other relationship that you have in your life, you have to be intentional about your relationship with God. Now, I'm going to say this. If anyone has ever communicated to you or made you think that choice that you made to choose Jesus was going to mean that life was going to be roses and everything was going to be easy, then first I want to say, I'm sorry. I want to say they simply misled you. So whether it's a misunderstanding on your part that you thought, well, hey, what the heck? I thought I was going to make this choice to follow Jesus and then everything was going to be really great and easy. Either that was a misunderstanding on your part or someone simply misled you. It is not true. Spiritual growth is not automatic when you choose Jesus. Like all of a sudden, woo, I grew up. Nice work. One for one. Spiritual growth is instantaneous once you find the right key or the right method. True or false? Spiritual growth is instantaneous once you find the right method or key or whatever. Right? Incremental. Spiritual growth is incremental. There may be, for some of us who grew up in the church, I call us churchy people. There may be some of us churchy people who are like, I cannot tell you when I became a Christian. It was sort of just this incremental like growth that, and yet I would unequivocally say to you, yes, I consider myself a Christian. I cannot tell you like the moment when that happened. There's others of us who can say, oh, I can tell you the place, the date, the time, the who. I can tell you the exact moment when I made that turn or that choice. Great. Spiritual growth, either way, is this sort of incremental thing, not instantaneous. So you're two for two. Spiritual growth is seasonal. True or false, spiritual growth is seasonal. Ooh. Right, great. Somebody earlier between services was like, well, you got me on that one because I thought you meant seasonal, like, you know, Easter season and the Lent season. And I was like, oh, that's fair. But then I didn't want to give you guys the advantage, right, of explaining more. So you asked the question. So spiritual growth as being seasonal, meaning seasonal in your life. Seasons in your life. Not spring, fall, winter, summer, any of that. But not Easter, not Christmas, but seasons in your life. So having said that, spiritual growth is seasonal, true or false? Right? Because there are times when you can sense the growth, where you may have a season in your life where you are like, I'm feeling this thing, I'm growing. And then there may be lots of other seasons where you say, what? Jesus, where are you? I don't feel you. I don't see you. I don't hear you. It feels really dry. I'm in a dry season right now spiritually. Know this. It is normal. It is normal for you to have seasons of spiritual growth in your life. And if someone tells you that they are 24/7 like growing spiritually, then they're either Jesus or, all right, 3 for 3. I didn't even know what to say after that. I was like, they're crazy. Spiritual growth, they're just lying to you. Spiritual growth, next one. Spiritual growth is measured by how much of the Bible that you know. True or false? Right? Because it's multidimensional. There's lots of layers to spiritual growth. Yes, Bible is a part of it. Yes, we need to spend time in Scripture. It's also prayer. It's also service. It's also worship. It's other experiences that we can help for our spiritual growth to take place. Nice word. The next one. Spiritual growth is relational. True or false? Spiritual growth is relational. True. Yeah. Right? We talk about spiritual growth being personal and private. It is always personal, never private. Spiritual growth is relational. Right? When we talk about deep community, you can read through Scripture and there is nothing that you're going to find that gives you sort of an example of privacy as it relates to your spiritual growth. You cannot be a Christian in isolation. If you want to experience deep spiritual growth, it's going to take some other people. It's going to take relationships. Last one. Spiritual growth is all about how I feel, true or false, right? It's not emotional, it's incarnational. How does Jesus live in us and through us? Chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's not me that lives anymore, but who? But Christ. The life that I now live, I live by faith through him who loved me and gave himself for me. Spiritual growth is an incarnational thing as we try to allow Jesus to live in us and through us. So I want to give you a couple of practical ways in which you might practice or you might experience spiritual growth. I want to talk about habits. There was a fun little thing that we did in the first service. What do you think, what's your guess on the average number of days it takes to form a new habit? 21, I've heard, what else, a couple others, John, you were saying something? 30... Five. Well, conventional, I don't know if it's wisdom, conventional thought is that it's 21 days. And I spent a little time doing some research on this. There's a recent study that suggests rather it's 66 days. Now, I don't know about you, and as you're trying to formulate your new habits or quit habits and start new ones, and in this study, there were individuals who were able to develop a new habit, in 18 days. And for some individuals, it took 254 days, okay? Now, I don't know about you, that when I have been like, oh, I'm going to try this new habit thing, I'm going to do this thing, right? Mine tends to be more to the 66-day side, which means I end up pretty much not having any new habits because I don't usually get that far, right? I'm like, come on, day 21, thinking that's going to be like the magic day, and then, right? So what happens in our brains is that these actions that we do, and it wants to kind of put them in a sequence that just becomes automatic routine. Okay? So a habit is the idea of our brain taking a sequence of actions and just making it an automatic thing, which then goes into our subconscious. So we don't have to think about the thing that we're doing. The example that I was reading, in one of the examples in the research, was brushing our teeth, right? If you think about the method and the details of brushing our teeth, starting from find the toothbrush, open the toothpaste, put it on the toothbrush. Now, and not even into the like actual single movements of the brush, up and down, now in a circle, right? Now move over to the next tooth, and right? That you don't think about it. It's now just a, like, right? You do your thing, and you because it has become this habit that has moved into our subconscious. So we don't think about it. The sequence of events that just becomes automatic. Okay, so think about that as habits as we look at these potential ideas, ways in which you might form some habits that lead to spiritual growth. First one is this: hang out with God. What would it look like for you to develop the habit leading to spiritual growth of just hanging out with God? I mean, that could be reading scripture. It could be a time of prayer. It could be time on your bike. You're going on a bike ride. Maybe you're out golfing. Maybe you're finding a way to volunteer and to serve in the community. Whatever it is, it's a way in which you're intentional about hanging out with God. As I said earlier, just like any other relationship in your life and in mine, it takes effort, energy, and we have an intention. I have to be intentional about this thing. One of the ways in which you might develop a habit of spiritual growth is just hanging out with God. Second one, letter A, attending church. Don't answer this out loud. Is church really a priority to you? I mean, what are all of the things that you can come up with and say, okay, well, if this opportunity, this thing happen, then I'm going to choose that over attending church. One of the habits of spiritual growth is attending church. The writer of Hebrews says in chapter 10, if you're taking notes, chapter 10, verse 25, don't give up meeting together. Don't abandon getting together. But continue to meet, encouraging one another. I will confess to you that you know that we're parents of some little people, and it would be hard. It's hard. Now, I give Ty all of that credit because on Sunday mornings, I leave the house by myself, and I'm here pretty early. And I'm like, hey, good luck. And then I, you know, come here. And nearly every Sunday, consistently, she rolls in with our three kids, 2, 4, 6, for both services. They're here at the 9 o'clock, they hang out, they're here at the 10:30. Because we have just made it a part of our habit. It's a habit that we said, we're just gonna do this thing. Our kids know that they're going to be at church probably from about 8:50 till about 11:50 noon. Every Sunday morning. They also know more than likely, pretty much most of the time, they're going to be going to Fortville on Sunday evenings at 5:30. They're going to be at Encompass on Wednesdays at 6, and they're going to be in a life group the other Wednesdays also at 6:30. Like, it's just a thing that we just do. Is it easy? No. And I will be the first one to tell you that if I wasn't the guy who had to stand up here and talk to you, there would absolutely be Sundays where I'm like, nope, checking out, nope, not, no. Audible, not happening. You're not, you know, you spilled your milk, you're not feeling it, I'm not feeling it, we're not going. It would be easy to do that. Now, part of it happens that we can't because otherwise then you won't pay me and then that's a whole other issue that I have to work out with Ty. So we don't want to go there, right? But we've made it it's a habit of attending church. Third one, the habit of being generous. I don't know about you, but for me, generosity is a habit that I have to practice. I am not, in my own nature, very generous. I'm selfish. Just by my own nature, when left to myself, it's about me. I turn inward, and I am a selfish person. So generosity then has to become a habit that I practice, not just with money, but with time and resources and energy and all of those things, right? Generosity becomes a habit of just doing this thing, becoming less selfish. If each day my goal can just be, I'm going to be a little bit less selfish today than I was yesterday. That, I think, is a pretty great way to practice the habit of being generous. I was pretty self-centered and still struggle with it before I met Jesus. And now, and before, I didn't really care or think much about it. And now I'm wrestle with it and try to develop the habit of being more generous. The letter I, investing in spiritual friendships. How are you investing in spiritual friendships, in relationships that are going to help you grow spiritually, that are going to help you to begin to look more like Jesus? You're not leaving yourself in isolation, looking for healthy, helpful relationships. We would talk about that as being part of deep community. Proverbs chapter 27, again, if you're taking notes, verse 17, the writer says, as iron sharpens iron, so one friend sharpens another. How are you looking to develop those kind of friendships? Those spiritual friendships. Letter T, telling my story. The habit of telling my story. Did you know that your story, your faith story, your spiritual story could change somebody else's story? Your story could even change the ending of somebody else's story. So then my question to you would be, have you had the opportunity to share your faith story? And if you'd say, you know what, Matt, I don't think I really have. I'm not sure that I really have. My follow-up question to you then would be, have you been praying for opportunities to share your faith story? Getting into the habit of sharing our story. Find a safe place to practice your story. Maybe it's in your life group. Maybe it's with your family. How are you going to share your faith story? What does it look like? It might be a really fun, exciting activity for you to just take some time, maybe this afternoon, maybe sometime this week, whenever, and write out your faith story. You may find it to be a really meaningful thing as you just spend time writing out, here, wow, I got my story is a lot more interesting than I give it credit for, that I realize. Because I believe that God wants to use your story and my story to impact somebody else's story. But you got to be prepared to share it. When you've got the opportunity, be prepared to share it. Because then we read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, always, Peter says this, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone and to everyone who asks of you, why do you have the hope that you have? Part of the habit is telling my story. Last one is this, the habit of serving others. How you begin to develop spiritual growth is moving outside of yourself. If you want to grow spiritually, you've got to move outside of yourself. Right, whether that's in isolation, you go, I don't really need anybody else to be a Christian. I can kind of, me and God, we can do this thing ourselves. You got to move outside of that. Or whether it's like, I got to find ways that I can go and serve other people. Spiritual growth happens as we move outside of ourselves through serving others. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, Peter goes on and he says, each of you should use whatever gifts that you have, whatever gifts that you have received to do what? To serve others. And then guess what will happen? God's grace will show up in all sorts of different ways. So whether it's just the habit of hanging out with God or attending church, being generous, investing in spiritual friendships, telling your story, serving others, these are some practical habits that will lead to spiritual growth. Now, I'm fascinated by the history surrounding World War II. I don't know why. There's lots of other wars that I don't really find as interesting. But something about the history around World War II I find to be just fascinating. And there was a couple years before the end of that war when the Japanese had taken over occupied a number of islands in the Pacific. And the Allied forces were beginning this kind of Pacific march to Japan so that we could put an end to this war. And they used a strategy called the beachhead strategy, where they would send in just a couple Marines, and a small group of Marines, they would find themselves on some kind of remote corner of one of these islands, and they would go in, and they would create, and they would take over this kind of corner of this island, and they would create a beachhead there, which would be the corridor through which more supplies, more resources, and more troops would then come in to then liberate the rest of that island. And they would do that from island to island to island to island. And it was all through establishing these beachheads so that through that, all of this, these other things could take place. And eventually, if you're a history person, you know kind of the rest of how that played out. What I would leave you with this is this thought, this question. Which one of these habits is going to be the beachhead for you, leading to freedom and spiritual growth? Which one of these habits is going to be the one where you go, you know what, I'm gonna plant my flag in this habit, I'm going to practice this thing, and that's going to be the corridor through which spiritual growth begins to happen, because this one's going to lead to this one, it's going to lead to this one, it's going to lead to this one, and now I'm really experiencing some fulfilling, deep spiritual growth as I practice these habits that help me to look more like Jesus. That's my question to you. What does that look like? How does that play out in your life as you explore what it means to grow spiritually? Lord, thanks for walking alongside us on this journey, wherever we are in the journey. Sometimes sometimes we're not even walking, we kind of just choose to sit in the dirt and say, no, you can keep going. But we're thankful that you're willing to walk beside us. Lord, we pray that you might give us courage, that you might give us the discipline to develop some habits that can lead to spiritual growth. We confess to you that there have been a lot of times in our lives when we really just not really thought about it. It's not been a thing. We don't really care that much. But we're thankful that your grace is there, and that for some of us we're ready. We're motivated, we're determined, we're ready, and we want to set up a beachhead, and because we want to feel this fulfillment of what it means to grow spiritually. And so we pray that your Spirit would help us strive to do that. Lord, we pray that we might be a community of individuals who are not only willing, but desire to do that together as we try to be more like you. And we're thankful that you're willing to use our stories, that you're willing to use us, and that we might even impact somebody else's story. And so we pray that you would give us those opportunities, and that we might be ready to share our hope in you and how that changed our story. And so use us, we pray.